This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. Scott also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf for more information. On that note, Rob Hernandez here, Gary D'Amato there. It is debate night in America. We've waited until Tuesday to record the podcast because, well, Gary, let's face it, there's only one guy who could force the postponement of Talking.Golf from Monday to Tuesday. That's Jack Nicklaus. You were in his presence today and played one of his newest courses this week. First of all, can it get any better than that?
I don't think it can, Rob. I mean, I'm so lucky to have the job I have and to get to do the things I do. And playing American Dunes yesterday, Jack's newest course in Grand Haven, Michigan. It's a wonderful golf course. You know, I played several Nicklaus courses, and I know a lot of our listeners have. And this is unlike anything Nicklaus has done. It's very playable, walkable, fun, what with dramatic holes. Remind me a little bit of Sand Valley. They took out 98 acres of trees. It used to be a tree-lined, tight. Grand Haven Golf Club was a private club, and it was tree-lined and tight. And they stripped off the topsoil and exposed all the sand and the sand dunes. And it's just a phenomenal-looking golf course, fun to play. And Jack Nicklaus was in Grand Haven this morning to hit a ceremonial tee shot and do a news conference. And then, Rob, I got to drive an hour south and play another Nicklaus course, dramatically different. And that is Harbor Shores Golf Club. So I've been one lucky duck the last couple of days, Rob.
You sure have. And we'll talk a lot about Jack here in a little bit on Talking.Golf, but as it relates to American Dunes, and we've seen this with, I suppose, with our former podcast sponsor, the club at Lac La Belle, where we're taking great golf courses and that have kind of gone through different cycles. And now we've reinvented them in this case with one of the premier golf names in the history of the sport, plus a guy who's developed, as you said, quite a reputation for designing golf courses. Tell us a little bit about how you're seeing this recreation of an old property.
It's a really interesting story, Rob, because Folds of Honor, which is a charitable organization that has raised $130 million in 10 years for scholarships for families, children of veterans who have been killed in action or wounded. And it's a wonderful organization. And it started at Grand Haven Golf Club with a guy named Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney. Started Folds of Honor. The first day they had an outing there. Dan Rooney's family owned the golf course. They raised $8,500. That was the start of Folds of Honor, which has since raised $130 million in 10 years. And Jack, they asked Jack to come on board, and he waived his $3 million design fee.
Wow.
And just dove in. And you can tell Jack's very, very proud of not only the golf course that he built, but the mission. I think the quote they're using on their literature and the scorecard even has is a Nicklaus quote saying, "I love the game of golf, but I love my country even more." And that's sort of the theme. This place, Rob, they're going to do both taps every day at 1 p.m. The course is going to come to a standstill. And they're going to have a foursome with wounded warriors teeing off at 1 p.m. And the whole theme of the course is just a salute to the military. And Jack was just on board with everything. So, and it turned out really, really good. It's a fun golf course.
That is going to be a moving thing every day at 1 o'clock, Gary.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I had a chance to coach a team at a public course up here, or out here in California, at General Old Golf Course, right next to the March Air Force Base. And right next to the golf course is a military cemetery where they have military funerals, it seems like, every day, every time I'm there to play. And you can hear taps being played for you know, all the great people that are now buried in there, you know, each day that, that someone is honored in that fashion with taps. And, you know, again, it's neat, isn't it, Gary, to see the impact golf has and how we can really unite golf with, you know, this, this charity. Because if you look at a lot of the golf bags on the various tours, a number of the PGA professionals are playing for Folds of Honor. And a lot of them are, you know, very much in tune with what that organization is trying to do. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that Jack Nicklaus has signed on to here over in Grand Haven, Michigan.
It is, Robin. We're not going to get into political, anything politics here tonight, even though we've got a debate coming with the presidential, with the president and the Democratic candidate. But, you know, how can anyone argue with the things that this golf course is going to stand for and the money, the cause, the money it's going to raise for Wounded Warriors? I mean, there's everything's good about it. I mean, it's a win-win all the way around. And I hope people from Wisconsin, you know, Milwaukee area and all parts of the state really make that 4-hour drive through Chicago and come up the west side of Michigan and play American Dunes and Harbor Shores, which I played today. They're different golf courses. They're an hour apart, but they're wonderful Jack Nicklaus designs.
How would you compare and contrast the two in terms of, you know, you, obviously Jack is working with a course that was there and trying to recreate it in today's image so it, it stands up to today's equipment, today's golfers. Harbor Shores, though, Gary, is a course that hosts major championships. It every other year hosts the Senior PGA Championship, the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship. I believe this was a year it was supposed to be in the rotation. Obviously, I'm sure they're two very different golf courses.
They are, yeah. Harbor Shores, is the green complexes are really difficult. In a fun way, though, I mean, it's a challenge to try to read these greens, putt them, and, you know, huge swales and slopes in the greens, and really dramatic. A couple of the holes play up to Lake Michigan, and then you're teeing off on dunes high over the fairway, and it's just a fun golf course. Whereas American Dunes is sort of cut through the forest. A lot of trees were taken down and they exposed the sand. And it's, like I said, it's kind of a sand valley-ish look. And Harbor Shores is a championship, big time golf course.
You played over there today at Harbor Shores with Josh Doxater, who formerly was the GM over at up in Green Bay at Thornberry Creek at Oneida. And right. Then a young man named Jackson Davison, and I think your text got garbled here. You said he was 4 over after 3 holes, Gary, and he played his last 15 holes in 7 under. Who's playing golf with Gary D'Amato if they can shoot 7 under over the last 15? I want to know that.
I'll tell you what, this guy, young man, 30 years old, just incredible. They told me, Josh told me on the first hole that this guy, Jackson Davison, who's the head of golf course operations here, sort of, it works under Josh. Josh is the general manager. But Jackson Davison won the Michigan High School State Championship, the big school division, by 5 shots. But I saw him double bogey the first hole, and I thought, well, okay, yeah, he's a nice player. But, boy, did he turn on the jets. He made an eagle and 5 birdies over the last 15 holes. And everything, he hit his driver 330 down the middle and made every putt he looked at. And I said in my text to you, Rob, if this guy, he played on the mini tours. He knows Neil Johnson, one of our friends, very right. Well. About played a little bit on the Dakotas tour with Neil. And I'm thinking as I'm watching this guy pouring all these birdie putts, if he can't make a living playing golf, I don't know how anyone can.
No. And again, it's just, it's a grind out there. And, but it does go to show, you said he could hit his driver 330, and it's fun to sit there and I'm sure play with a guy like that. I hope, for your physical sake, Gary, you didn't try to outdrive him.
Oh, my God. I played up one tee, Rob, and I was still 75 yards behind him with my best drive. On the 14th hole, to par 5, he drops a ball on the tee. No, doesn't tee it up. It was into the wind. Hits driver off the deck, 325, 10 feet off the ground, just a screamer into the wind. I mean, I don't know. He played a different game than I played.
Well, one of those podcasts, Gary, where I wish we could throw the old Zoom video up there on the internet, because your smile today is huge. And on debate night, we close this portion of Talking.Golf with how about a debate? Who's had a greater impact after his playing career? Jack Nicklaus, with whom you got to see today, and or Arnold Palmer. As I told you before we started the podcast tonight, I am amazed at the amount of time that we see Jack Nicklaus in the public eye at his age. And what is he, 80 yet? I mean, he's got to be close.
And he turned 80 in January. Yeah, he's going to be 81 this coming January.
And you know, we saw him at the AmFam Championship last year in the celebrity foursome. This year, he played out at the Sanford International Andy North Tournament. Of course, Andy and Jack, really good friends. And he's opening courses everywhere. He was at Tiger's course opening with Gary Player a couple weeks ago. The guy's phenomenal. And I never thought anyone could outdo Arnold Palmer in terms of charisma after the game and kind of being in our eye. But the debate is, in your mind, Gary, who's had the greater impact post-career, Arnold or Jack?
It's a really good question, Rob. And I'll start by saying I think Jack has really learned how to market himself and market the game of golf. I don't think he was great at that when he was focused on winning major championships when he was in, say, his 30s and 40s. But as time has gone on, he's become a wonderful spokesman for the game of golf. I mean, he does everything and says everything the right way. And I think, you know, his impact is going to be felt for decades and decades to come. I still go with Arnie as having the bigger impact. Arnie started the Golf Channel. And even though Arnie couldn't, you know, the last 20 years or so that he was alive, his game had really deteriorated. But he meant so much to so many people. So does Jack. Jack, of course, does too. But Arnie was just so beloved. And everything he touched, he had the Midas touch with all his businesses. Everything he did with class. And so does Jack. But I'd have to give a slight edge to Arnie. Now it's your turn, Rob. What do you say?
Well, I'll go Jack simply because Jack has the ability to utilize social media to his advantage. I don't know if it's always Jack Nicklaus behind the Jack Nicklaus Twitter handle, but the things that he's saying, the things that he's doing, and the way he's connecting with golfers, I think at least in this era is probably as good, if not better, than what Arnold did coming out of his playing days. I think we can both agree we're lucky to have had both, but and I think the other thing that they both exude is a great appreciation for the golfers who have followed them in such a way that it makes those golfers want to and continue to respect what those gentlemen gave to the game. I think we'll see that hopefully coming down the pike in Tiger Woods, a kinder, gentler Tiger Woods than at the peak of his playing career when it was all about wins, when it was all about majors. And I don't think Tiger Woods could have two better examples to draw from as to how to go forward in life from this point on than Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. You take Arnold, I'll take Jack. We'll call it a toss-up and just say thank goodness that the sport has had two great ambassadors like that. And again, I'm thrilled for you. You got to see the Golden Bear today over there in Michigan. And you know, again, he continues to have a reach and to kind of put a bow on this part of the podcast. I think we're lucky that his course in Wisconsin endures in the bowl at Pinehurst Farms, where at the start of the year, we weren't sure where that was going. It's a wonderful facility in its own right. And the fact that Jack, you know, provided that to the you know, golfers of Wisconsin is another feather in Jack's cap. Of course, Arnold's got his courses in the state as well. But this, you know, again, what Jack has meant, and for him to do what he's doing there for such a great cause like Folds of Honor over there in Grand Haven, Michigan, I think is a tribute to another great of the game.
Yeah, Rob, well said. And Wisconsin golfers, you guys need to get over here and play these courses. They're fantastic, and they're on a par with the Kohler stuff, with Sand Valley, with Erin Hills, with the Bullet Pinehurst Farms. I mean, it's very, very good golf. It's not that long of a drive, and you'll appreciate American Dunes and Harbor Shores. They're fun golf courses.
Talking Doc Golf, sponsored by Southwest Wisconsin Tech in Fenimore. Did you know that Southwest Tech is for people with a passion for golf? That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech, headed up by PGA professional Scott Kennedy. We'll talk more about Scott in a second, but in the meantime, go to Southwest Tech's website, swtc.edu/golf for more information. Gary, before we get off the topic of your travel, since we last talked, you got to participate in among many people playing Whistling Straits the week of what should have been the Ryder Cup. And there was a lot written and said last week about the Ryder Cup. I wasn't sure. For a while there, I thought we were going to get a lot more than we had bargained for with, you know, everyone wishing for the Ryder Cup, but it kind of died out in a hurry. But we can't lose sight of the fact that you got to play the course during Ryder Cup week. What did you find out at Whistling Straits? And do you feel as though the people that were there realized that it was indeed Ryder Cup week and they were playing the course when truly Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods should have been on the golf course?
Yeah, you know, one of the guys I played with, I was paired with Rob, a guy from Cincinnati, said he didn't even realize that the Ryder Cup would have been played that week. And I think that goes to your point that, you know, the postponement, Kent, was announced, was it end of June, maybe, or middle of June? I forget the date. But so there's been some time that has passed, and people have just come to realize, well, there's no Ryder Cup this year. Had it been postponed maybe 2 weeks earlier, I think it would have been a totally different reaction. But the one thing I took away from that week, Rob, or from that day and the week, is that the weather was perfect all week last week at Whistling Straits. The day I played, it was started a little cool, but temperatures in the low 70s, sunny. It was that way all week. And I'm so afraid that next year is going to roll around the same week, basically, and it's going to be 55 and pouring rain. So let's hope they get that same weather next year that I had last week and that the Whistling Straits enjoyed last week.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure was good weather. It was also interesting, you know, Steve Stricker was on a number of different platforms over the course of the week, but one on Golf Channel with Mark Rolfing, talking about how tough a turnaround it would have been in hindsight had they stuck with the plans to have the Ryder Cup in the middle of all this PGA Tour rescheduling, USGA rescheduling coming right off the US Open. I really think the event would have lost a lot, Gary, with guys trying to find enough energy and enough motivation, especially if there hadn't been fans there to play the Ryder Cup. And Steve spoke to that when he talked to Mark Rolfing, and he just said it really didn't feel like a US Open fan-wise out in New York. And, you know, he's glad that we get a mulligan and another chance to at least get our world back to a point where we can welcome fans to Whistling Straits in 2021.
Yeah, I was on a teleconference earlier in the year, Rob, with Curtis Strange was on it and a couple other broadcasters. And I asked the question, you know, that this was before the postponement. They had already moved the U.S. Open, but before the Ryder Cup was postponed. And I said, how hard is it going to be for these guys to play a U.S. Open, you know, go through the FedEx playoffs, then play a U.S. Open, and then get, you know, basically almost go straight to the Ryder Cup and have the energy and the, you know, the enthusiasm and the competitiveness that we've seen in recent Ryder Cups. It seems to me that there would be some golfers would be naturally flat after all that. And Curtis disagreed with that and said that they'll have no problem getting up for the Ryder Cup, no matter when it's played or what it's played after. But I think you're right. I think it would have been tough, not for everybody, but for some guys, especially if they were battling for a U.S. Open trophy down the stretch, to get up for the Ryder Cup, you know, shortly after.
Well, we've heard it here 3 weeks into the NFL season, and certainly in the way the Packers have started playing in stadiums where normally they'd be at a huge disadvantage in terms of crowd noise, and that just hasn't been the case. And I think, you know, it would have been interesting to see how, you know, energy, how adrenaline would have been captured in a fanless, spectatorless Ryder Cup. But luckily, Gary, we don't have to worry about that. We can begin another countdown to next year. And hopefully by this point next year, we'll be talking about, you know, a great Ryder Cup on the shores of Lake Michigan. So we'll have to see on that.
For sure, Rob. Yeah, I guess we're in the one-year countdown for a second time now. So I can't wait for the Ryder Cup to roll around, and hopefully we'll have a full contingent of 50,000 fans on the course. Let's hope for that.
Another event as we wind down Talking.Golf here at the in the last week of September is the WIAA Girls Golf Tournament begins tomorrow with regional competition throughout the state for the 75% of the schools that sponsor the sport who are playing it in the fall. Gary, I, you know, like everything else, we're seeing a lot of ebbs and flows as it relates to the coronavirus and its impact on sports in Wisconsin. A number of football teams, high school football teams in the state are now calling off the fall football season and going for the alternate season in the spring. Fortunately, we haven't lost very many girls golf teams over the course of the season. The few that aren't playing in the postseason either don't have enough golfers to play, or in the case of Superior, I talked to their coach, Ed Willie, and he said that they are just not allowed to travel out of the county to compete. So they are not competing in the postseason. A number of schools have had to get clearances to play after being essentially quarantined in their counties during the regular season, Wanakee being one of them. And but Wanakee with their freshman Izzy Stricker is going to be teeing it up here this week, and they've got to go to Portage to do it. You know, it's how do you imagine yourself, Gary, being a high school kid in a COVID-19 era, and you know, this is, you get four shots at the postseason over the course of a high school career, and now you've got to worry about, are you going to play? Are you not going to play? Can we travel? How do we be safe? Can you imagine what these kids are going through?
No, I mean, and you know, I don't deal with a lot of these issues on an everyday thing, and my kids are, you know, long out of high school, but I can't imagine, not only from an athletic standpoint, but I can imagine how different high school is right now in school, just with, you know, a lot of schools are going only a couple days a week, and a lot of schools are totally virtual or half virtual. I just can't imagine how difficult that must be on young men and women, boys and girls to learn in that kind of environment. It's got to be challenging. And then you throw in athletics on top of it, you throw in girls golf, and kudos to them for being able to handle this all at this time.
And of course, we mentioned Scott Kennedy, who heads up the golf management program over there at Southwest Wisconsin Tech in Fenimore. His daughter, Allison, one of only three golfers competing, I believe it is this year, for Prairie du Chien, but they're hosting a regional this week out there at Prairie du Chien Country Club. I got to cover a sectional out there. A lot of great courses in the state that don't get showcased very much, and Prairie du Chien hosted a sectional last year, regional this year in Division II, and she'll be teeing it up this week. But the big issues, Gary, are that we've lost a couple programs to COVID. We've lost the defending Division I state team and individual champions in Middleton and Bayport senior Joe Baranchuk. The North Dakota State recruiters won the last two individual titles. They are both playing in the spring season with the 25% that opted out. And again, you know, you really didn't know who was going to be in, who was going to be out. Now we've also moved the state tournament from University Ridge Golf Course in Verona, or just outside Verona in the city of Madison, to Black Wolf Run in Kohler. Not a bad plan B for the high school girls, but it's different. The difference hard sometimes, isn't it, Gary, when you're, you know, dealing with a different tournament field. They had to reduce the number of regional or sectionals in Division I. I believe it was from, we went from 6 to 4. So there's four sectionals in Division I, still 3 in Division II, where most of the schools are playing in the fall. And then within that Division I grouping, so many changes to try to pair, you know, different areas up, still maintain some competitive balance. I got to give credit to Tom Szafranski and the WIA for being able to pull that off, and really not, you know, there hasn't been much talk about how this sectional is out of balance, you know, compared to others. And, you know, and again, you spoke to it about the kids, you know, having to deal with virtual education versus in-person. You know, some days, you know, your district is in a virtual mode. The next week, they're talking about going back in the classroom. You've got to kind of roll with it. The teachers have to roll with it. The coaches have to roll with it. And those that are in the business of providing the opportunities for these kids have to roll with it. And I give credit to WIA. Not only are they setting a great example here with girls golf and for the golfers, but they're making it possible, I think, Gary, for the other sports this fall to follow suit. And if we can pull this off and get 3 more weeks of safe competition in, it'll be one of the great miracles of high school sports that we got at least one season in a COVID environment. It has been crazy.
Do you know of any girls who have tested positive for COVID? Girls golfers, has it happened?
A good question, and there have. And obviously, some of this, you know, stuff doesn't come out with, you know, the student privacy laws. But
right,
I tip my hat to a couple of the great golf parents in the state of Wisconsin. Reagan Stuckey's mom, Karina, reached out to me. She's the number 3 golfer at Kettle Moraine High School in Wales, and a perennial power lately in girls golf. And Reagan had to sit out the Classic 8 Conference Championship last week. And then she's at the end of a 14-day quarantine that'll end tomorrow ahead of the Kettle Moraine Regional out at Nagawaki. And she'll be back in the lineup. But Without her, they didn't really couldn't quite catch Heartland Arrowhead, which had a phenomenal conference championship. But with her, Kelly Moraine's a title contender, along with Arrowhead and Brookfield Central. So she's very important. A great gesture on the part of the coaches, though, Gary. And this is where I think, if anything, in our COVID year here, we've learned it's the importance of common sense. Because Reagan wasn't able to compete in the conference championship, she didn't technically qualify for all conference honors. But the coaches got together and they made her a second team selection, even though she didn't have an 18-hole conference score, which is a prerequisite for consideration. And again, a good gesture there. Cindy Raymer, whose son and daughter, son is Addison and daughter is Emma. Emma playing fall golf over at Slinger High School. She posted on Facebook that that Emma had a COVID positive test. And so she is questionable. She's on the tee sheet for tomorrow for the regionals that that Slinger's playing in. But I'm not sure whether her 14-day can end in time. The good news is that you can enter, you can put six on your postseason roster, play five, and then change at least one golfer in your lineup as you go forward. So if she, you know, and Slinger is favored to move on to the sectional as a, as one of the top four teams, but and these aren't, they haven't tested positive. I should also mention this, Gary, they've been exposed to the virus at school and, or at home. And that's very important. Neither one of them is actually, you know, tested positive, but it was an exposure. And the exposures are also, you know, and we've seen the news, there are more and more, you know, here in the state these last couple weeks. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, especially for the kids in the team sports to get through this fall without incident. But those are the two big ones. I'm sure there's others. And we've seen some situations where, you know, teams didn't have full teams at conference. They didn't make any public declaration that it was a COVID-related thing. But in this day and age, you know, when you see that many kids not playing, you know, for a team or a team not being able to put five on the course, you know, that tends to be, you know, the reason. And, but we'll pay close attention. We'll have up-to-the-minute coverage here on Wisconsin.golf the next couple of days as the regionals get underway. Division I preview was posted earlier today, the Division II preview going up as we speak. And so you can learn all you want to know about high school golf as we hit the postseason here in Wisconsin on Wisconsin.golf. But Gary, what do you do for an encore after Whistling Straits last week and Harbor Shores and Jack's new course this week?
I think I put my clubs away now, Rob. I think that's it for the year. It doesn't get any better than I've had it the last 7 or 8 days, that's for sure. And I'm very thankful and grateful that I have a job that allows me to do this and that we can write about and have fun doing these fun stories. But I have one question for you, Rob, before we go. You know, I covered in your absence last year, you had a, your son graduated high school. That's why you missed
the boys tournament, right? For the state boys tournament. Yep.
Yeah. So I covered the state boys tournament. My head was spinning, Rob. So I don't know how you do this. Why don't you tell our listeners, how exactly do you cover a state tournament? What do you, I mean, I was just, I felt like I was lost for 2 days there.
Well, Jim Kelsch, our general manager and our ace photographer and I have a nice deal going. He stands at the either the first or the 10th tee, usually it's the 10th tee at U Ridge, and I'll stand at the first tee, and we'll take pictures of every single golfer in the tournament, because honestly, Gary, you'd never know when you need a picture of a kid from way up north for a preview or something that we do, the junior rankings, whatever it might be. So we start by doing that, and then I thank goodness, and I don't know how many times you and I have said this over the last 10 years of our career, thank goodness for live scoring. That's all I can say. Before live scoring, forget about it. I mean, I felt like, you know, literally a fly on the wall in these scoring tents, and I would tend to get the people trying to do their jobs and make sure the scores were computed correctly. You know, I'd kind of get their ire here and there, but all you can do is look for the good scores to come in, wait to see how the team scores add up, hope that the teams hang around long enough to look at the scores themselves before they head off to dinner, and it is not easy. It's one of the reasons why I come back twice a year to cover golf. We build my visits back from California around the state high school tournament for boys in June and girls here in October, because it is just way too tough to cover that many kids, two divisions, team champions, individual champions from afar. And but it's also, Gary, and you probably picked up on this, it's probably one of the best attended and heaviest interest tournaments that we cover, including the state open, including the state amateur, simply because of that school community component to it. I can't figure it out, but you don't see more people on a golf course than you do at the state tournaments.
I was amazed, Rob, last year when I showed up at Uridge, and I got there plenty early, I thought, and the parking lot was completely full. There were cars parked, you know, half a mile away and people walking into the golf course. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen anything like that at a high school event. It was very impressive.
Well, now you know why it'll be hard for them to ever leave Uridge, and it will be interesting, honestly, Gary, to see what kind of spectator interest there is. Honestly, somebody need to check on what kind of spectator allowance there will be at the state high school tournament. So far, there haven't been any parameters put in place in terms of, you know, two spectators per contestant. And again, a lot of that has to do with the great outdoors of the golf course and the ability to social distance. But it'll be interesting to see how many people take the trip over to Black Wolf Run, check out the competition, and check out, of course, the baths at Black Wolf Run, right in the middle of what's now the state high school championship course on the Meadow Valleys course. So a lot to look forward to here over the next couple of weeks. And I can't wait to get back and cover that. But we've got two legs of the tournament to go here, so we'll do that. And Gary, we'll let you rest up from all your golf, and we'll talk golf again next week. How's that sound?
That sounds great, Rob. Thanks a lot.
For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf here on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf, sponsored by Southwest Tech in Fenimore. Southwest Wisconsin Technical College in Fenimore is for people with a passion for golf. That's right. They offer a golf course management program with a 100% job placement rate. The program helps students learn the industry and turn that passion into a rewarding career. The golf course management program at Southwest Tech is led by PGA professional and this week high school golf dad Scott Kennedy. He also coaches the Chargers golf team in the NJCAA. Men, women, there are golf opportunities for everyone at Southwest Tech in Fenimore. To learn more, go to swtc.edu/golf for more information. We'll talk golf again next week.